This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emrys, CPA with Parr Mellison Associates. Do you offer health insurance? Maybe thinking about offering health insurance? Well, there are actually a lot of changes going on, and some of this could help you in 2026. Some of this might hurt you depending on where you stand. How will you be affected? What is the current state? And everything else, health insurance is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me, or an idea for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Also, don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions on here, is available now on Amazon in paperback and for Kindle for purchase. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services that Parr Mellison offers auto repair shop like yours? Text us at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Promotive and Wicked File, for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to get your back office under control, give Wicked File a call. And if you need help recruiting top talent for your shop, give Promotive a call as well. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Before we kind of get into some of the current changes in the health insurance market, we have to kind of talk about where the current state stands. We are ultimately going to be talking about a bill that just has passed the House, but where does current small business health insurance stand? I offer health insurance for all of my employees. We pay 100% of single coverage. Obviously, I'm in a different industry. We're in accounting. You guys are in automotive, but my experience is similar to what I'm seeing for a lot of shops. Depending on where you are, depending on the age of your employees, a lot of different things go into this. But over the last 5 years, we've averaged a double-digit increase. So generally anywhere from 10 to 20% increase in our premium cost. But overall, for the last 5 years or so, we've had pretty significant cost increase. I've seen that in my business. I've seen that in my clients' businesses. And really, we've been seeing a lot of this stuff back since, you know, probably Obamacare days. Obamacare and the marketplace really shifted the entire picture for small business health insurance. This is not something unique to the automotive industry, unique to the accounting industry. All small businesses have really been impacted by this. And no better kind of indicator of this is the percentage of my shops offering health insurance. I will say over the last 5 years, I've seen a significant increase on the amount of shops offering health insurance to their team. But if you look at my entire landscape of being in this industry, you know, 20 years or so, the amount of my clients that offer health insurance now compared to 20 years ago is probably down, maybe not significantly anymore, but it's just become very, very expensive. It's something that for a lot of you, you might be offering health insurance that is actually more expensive than your current team has. Let me kind of explain that a little bit, because one of the things I talk about is Obamacare really reshaped the entire landscape. You know, it did a couple of things on there. I'm not going to get into the merits behind it. I'm not going to get into the politics, but the entire idea was that everyone should be on health insurance. We're going to make this cheap enough that everyone can get on there, make it cheap by either giving subsidies, by not allowing insurance to have pre-existing conditions. But what you had was a large amount of people that were previously uninsured are now all on insurance. Also, that there were certain limits that the insurance companies were able to charge these specific groups. What you ended up having is an entire landscape that now had more unhealthy people on health insurance. And a lot of the healthy people ended up leaving because the premiums got so high. That really shifted the entire thing. And over that time frame, we've seen insurance companies really just profit off of this. You know, the big argument that the insurance companies are going to come back and say, oh, look at the cost of providers. You know, if you talk to your providers, their reimbursement rates are down. What they're paying doctors is down. And if you follow the market, health insurance profits are at record highs. Really what this is the insurance companies, right, have seen an opportunity to gouge you guys. They have done it. And if you don't like it, they've all stuck together pretty well. And there's not a whole lot that you can do about it. Why are we talking about this now? Hunt, I know my health insurance is expensive. I know that it's going to be expensive. Doesn't seem like anything has changed. We are talking about this now for really two big reasons. One of them you might have heard about on the news. One of them you might hear about by the time this episode comes out, but has not really been getting as much press. What did get a lot of press is this most recent government shutdown that we went through. One of the big arguments had to do with healthcare. Now, depending on what party of the aisle you're on, one of them said that people wanted health insurance for illegal immigrants. Other people are saying we want these subsidies no matter who that they go to. But all of really what was fighting about was these ACA subsidies or Affordable Care Act subsidies. We'll talk about that in a second, but those subsidies are now gone. And so the Democrats wanted the Affordable Care Act subsidies to be renewed. I think it would have pushed them out to like 2028 or 2030, would have really, really kind of shifted it for the next 5 years. They couldn't agree on that. Government shut down. And the Republicans have came out and proposed their new bill. We don't like the subsidies. We want to cut costs to Americans and small businesses in a different way. And they've proposed their alternative. I want to talk to you guys about this. I want to talk to you about the subsidies going out. I want to talk to you about the possible new bill. But the biggest thing I have to put out here, guys, is this might not get passed. It has to go through the House, it has to go through the Senate, and ultimately has to get signed by President Trump. Now, this is a Republican-backed bill, so we would assume if it can pass the House, we know that Trump will ultimately sign it. The Senate is where you have, you know, much tighter and probably a much, much, much lower chance of this getting passed. Also, guys, remember, we talk about politics and political bills a good bit on this podcast. There is almost zero chance that this bill gets passed as stated. Even if they end up passing this in the Senate, there's going to be reconciliation. These amounts are going to change. You know, the overall scope is going to change. Also, guys, as a final reminder on here, the last time they tried to agree on this stuff, they shut the government down. They are trying to agree on this one. There is a deadline of January 31st to avoid another government shutdown. Yeah. We've seen this episode before. We've seen the ultimate thing. A lot of adults fighting, maybe a whole not a lot of actions, but there's enough changes in here that you guys need to know about it. And if some of this stuff does pass, I'm actually really excited. For the first time in a long time, I will say that if this passes, I'm not going to say anything about health insurance as a greater good, but I think it will make health insurance cheaper for shops just like you. And that's all we're really looking for. So if you read the headlines, you will say Affordable Care Act is done. It's going to be unaffordable. There's also going to be cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. I didn't really go into that stuff on it. We're really going to go into the Affordable Care Act subsidies. Do you guys need to understand what these subsidies are? No. Should you understand who these subsidies were affecting? Yeah, absolutely. The way that this worked before is that if you got an Affordable Care Act plan, depending on how much money you made is how much you paid for the plan. If you made $18,000 before, you did not have any sort of health insurance. And now, what is $18,000? It's actually 115% above the federal poverty line. So in order to be officially poverty, you have to make less than $16,000. Even though I will argue that most states around the country, if you made any of this money as a single taxpayer, you're going to probably be below the poverty line. But how it was before is if you made $18,000, you paid zero. Now they're going to pay like $400. If you make $22,000, you paid zero before, they're now going to pay $800. If you made over $65,000 as a single individual, you are not getting any of these credits anyways. The first thing that I need to point out on this is for most of your team, for most of you guys, this is going to have zero effect on you because you probably pay your team or your team makes too much money to take most any of these subsidies. This is for a single household. If you double it, if they have a non-working spouse in there, yes, some of your employees might be getting this. Generally, most of the gripes that I'm hearing and most of the major effects are going to be on low-income people and specifically lower than $45,000 a year. I am not saying that these people don't matter. I'm not saying that that's not a major hit to them. I will argue that these are massive cost increase for them. But as far as our day-to-day life, I do not think that these subsidies are really targeted or will have a whole lot of effect on the self-employed and small business community. What we will see on here is people probably leaving health insurance, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but if you make $22,000 a year and you have a cost that goes from zero to $800, might as well be $8,000. What is that as a percentage of how much this person makes? Even if you go out and you buy that health insurance on it, we all know with health insurance, there's still out-of-pocket costs. There's still co-pays. If you're making $22,000 a year, and this is not financial advice, I probably wouldn't be concerned about medical debt whatsoever. If you're making $22,000 a year in 2025 in America, you have a lot bigger issues to worry about than health insurance. If the government is going to give it to you for free, if they're going to give you a credit for it, obviously you're going to take it. But if you're going to have to start paying for that, a lot of these individuals are going to be making a business decision. If you're making $35,000 previously, your health insurance for the entire year is only $1,000. Now it's going to be $2,600. If you made $55,000 before, your health insurance is going to be $4,000. Now it's going to be $5,500. There is credits here. There is going to be people that are going to be affected. Is this going to reduce people's access to health insurance? Yeah, I honestly think it is. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? This is where it comes down to the economics of it. From a human side of it, I think everyone has a right to, you know, healthcare. I think everyone has a right to live on it. This is something completely different. This is totally an argument from the economic side of it, is that if you give out free health insurance and these companies have to provide benefits for it, who do you think is shouldering those costs? The government is giving these health insurance providers subsidies. The government is saying you need to make it cheaper for these people. From what I talked about there, do you think that that $378 subsidy for someone that makes $18,000 is covering for any portion of that person's medical care? No, it is not whatsoever. It is not a free market. It is completely subsidized. And honestly, it's not subsidized by the government. It is subsidized for everyone that makes more than $65,000. So if you look at the entire, you know, period of Obamacare, if you had pre-existing conditions, if you did not make much money at all, your cost of health insurance over the last, whatever, 10, 15 years has probably been steady, has probably been declining. Everyone else, if you make more money than that, if you're, you know, kind of go out and use the doctor on it, we've seen skyrocket at cost. It just is kind of simple numbers here. If you have twice as many people on the plan and the same amount of people paying for it, because a lot of the additional people aren't paying anything, then what do you think it's going to do to people's premiums that have to pay? Twice as much stuff going out, same amount of people that need to fund it. It should be no surprise that for a lot of people over the last decade, your health insurance costs have doubled.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit GoPromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. This is where it gets really political on here, because this has been something that they've been going after since Obama was president. You know, Barack Obama made Obamacare. It was one of his brainchilds. It was one of his campaign promises. You know, now you can say a lot of things about it, but the plan, even he will admit this, was never kind of enacted as intended. This is where it gets really political, and other sides would like to see something fail just for the fact that the other side came out with it, not that it's going to be good for people. They've been trying to do similar stuff. Like the overall, the exchange in the marketplace has its quirks, but it works pretty darn well. And what we've seen over the last, you know, probably 6-8 years is just kind of consistent eroding of that. Some of these subsidies are gone. Some of the different options are out of there. Where really, I think that we are maybe seeing an end to the marketplace. This all makes a difference if something passes. If we have another alternative, there's going to be some major changes. This right here is gone as of right now. These subsidies are gone. They're not coming back. They're never to be seen again. The Republican House bill proposed no additional credits, right? All alternative measures. Could all these come back and be the exact same as last year if that's what the Senate proposes? Yes. Could the Senate agree on nothing and there's no change to a new bill and these are still gone? Yes. Again, as of right now, these are gone. They could totally come back. They could totally come back at a higher or lower level. But we can kind of see the writing on the wall is that they are really targeting these Affordable Care Act subsidies and truly want to go away with them. All of this seems doom and gloom on here. Well, Hunt, if we have all of this stuff going on here, then why are we talking about it? There's not a whole lot of changes, and I don't really hear a lot of this that's actually affecting small businesses. This is where it gets pretty exciting. I gave you all the negative stuff. I gave you all the stuff going away. Let's talk about what is actually going on here. Remember, guys, this just passed the House. I'm recording this on, what, December 18th? So I think it passed yesterday in the House. Depending on when you guys listen to this, it might or might not have already passed the Senate, but it still has to go to the Senate. Like I mentioned before, it's definitely not going to pass as is. It might not pass at all. It might pass in some level. Without further ado, let's go down to the key provisions of the bill. The first one on here, and something that I am really excited about, is something called an association health plan. So what this does is it allows small businesses and self-employed people to actually join together across industries, if you want, to buy group coverage similar to what large employers do. If you have a large employer, your health insurance costs are going to be lower because you have the law of averages. If you have to insure 10 people, how can you spread your risks out that much? If you're insuring 1,000 people, it's very easy to spread your risk. As it is right now, you cannot go out and join together as small businesses and say, we are going to go out and we are going to join forces as a buying group, as whatever, and we are going to buy health insurance. Why you're not allowed to do that, I have no idea. If I had to guess, it has something to do with it takes money out of the insurance company's pockets. But essentially, the way that people are fighting to offset the reduction in Affordable Care Act subsidies is for this. The most common example of what people have used about this, someone like Costco, someone like Amazon, them actually being allowed to look themselves as a small group and sell health insurance to their members. What could that do? Anytime that you have more options, anytime that you have a free market on this, and especially anytime that some of these plans are going to be offered nationally, that can only do one thing to prices, pull them down. Super excited about that. Could this be association for fellow shop owners? Sure. Could this be your coaching company? Yes. Could this be your tire buying group? Yes. This is the biggest one that would really completely shift the landscape of how these are priced, how these are sold, how you change stuff, a lot of different things. So the association health plans, buying health insurance for Costco is probably the one of the two biggest things that I'm excited about. I want to go down through all this stuff. Some of these you might know more than what it was, but the other one on there was a pharmacy benefit manager. What it does is it says that it mandates greater transparencies for pharmacy benefit managers to help lower drug cost. When I did a little bit more research about this, what it has to do with is how much profit some of these pharmacies are allowed to make. So some of these drugs, they have a price that they buy it for, the price that they have to sell it to you guys for. Other ones, they're allowed to play the Wild West. And they do, and you've probably seen this stuff on the news, a drug that costs them $10 that they're selling for $10,000. It does happen. Within reason, there's not a whole lot of limits to that. This will be some of those limits. Another one is cost sharing reduction funding. So this is for something for Affordable Care Act recipients. None of this would start until 2027. But essentially is when I was looking into this, that they were even expecting without some sort of subsidies for low-income people, even with some of these costs that they have right now, that by the time 2027 hits, they would forecast people paying more money. And so they threw this in the bill that by that time, yeah, they might be paying more money, but we're going to give them these same subsidies. Do you feel like you're taking crazy pills because they're arguing to get rid of the subsidies for 2026? And then part of this plan is bringing them back in 2027. I get it. But yeah, this is what they're trying to do. I told you there's two things that I was really excited about. The association health plans are super, super cool. The pharmacy benefit manager, I don't care about. The cost sharing reduction, I don't care about. This is a big one. Health reimbursement accounts. What this is it's called an HRA. So if I have an employee that goes out and gets hurt or has health insurance in the individual marketplace, I cannot technically give them any money and can't give them any money in a pre-tax. You cannot reimburse someone for health unless they're on a group-sponsored plan. Currently, right now, they have something called a QSERA, Qualified Small Business Employee Reimbursement Program. I'm probably butchered that, but it's the same idea on it. There's a lot of limits. We don't see them that often used. You can't put a ton of money in, and you can't really pick how much you give to people. People have long since argued that an HRA, a health reimbursement account, is a great thing for small businesses. I agree 1,000%. If we're truly serious about making sure that, you know, American citizens are getting healthy, whether they're an employee or an employer, why are you going to dictate how I'm taxed, whether I have an employee or employer-sponsored plan? The ultimate idea is to get what makes the most sense for my employee from a benefit standpoint, from a cost standpoint. Why would I, as a business owner, get penalized and my employee, as an employee, get penalized just because it made more sense to go buy it through the marketplace? So the way it is right now is if I go out and I get an employer-sponsored plan for $800, I get a tax deduction that costs me $600. If I go out and I get a plan from the marketplace that costs $800, it costs me $800. We're probably more like $1,000 to make that money pay the tax on it. So some of these differences between inside businesses and outside would go away if we are allowed to reimburse people for their own individual health insurance. Another thing that's on it is pretty cool for those of you guys that, you know, come across this problem is if you do have an employee-sponsored plan, and what about if some of your employees don't participate? Their wife has it, you know, their wife's business offers it. If they have their own cost, let's say that I have an employee come back to me and they say, "Boss, I don't want to get health insurance. We only have to pay $500 out of pocket to get it on my wife's company. In order to do it through you guys, it'd be $800." Currently, right now, the only way for me to give that employee $500 to pay for his wife's plan would be to pay him $700, have him pay tax on it to have $500 left over. What this is proposing is that if he came and he showed he had $500 of out-of-pocket expenses, I'd be able to reimburse him for that, whether it was a group plan or an individual plan. Association health plans, like I said, Costco could prove me wrong on here, but I don't see how that could increase our cost. And then health reimbursement accounts, allowing us to get some more money back to the team pre-tax without the limitations, without the maximum contributions amounts, would be awesome. If we're looking for anything, right, I'll throw the bone. Get rid of the pharmacy benefit manager. I don't know what it is. I don't really care about it. You can get rid of that in the bill. Cost sharing reduction, whatever. Get rid of that too. Give us the Association of Health Plans. Give us the HRAs on this and we will be happy. Little context and controversy that came around on this one is the no ACA subsidy. The Democrats have long since said, if there is not an ACA subsidy in it, we're not going to sign it. It's part of the reason why the government was shut down before, and it is going to be another major issue come here in January. When the government was shut down before, they did a temporary bill to fund the government through the end of January. This is probably the biggest sticking point behind immigration currently right now. I don't see this passing before, then I see this becoming a major issue. There's a lot of debate over affordability on this. So Republicans claim that it lower costs for working families, while Democrats are saying that it is going to raise it for people that are on the ACA. Both of these things can be true. I don't think that you could look at this and say we have major changes and someone's not going to be benefited and someone's not going to be negatively affected by this. Anytime you have changes, that's going to happen. Do I think lower income people are going to be affected? Yes. Do I think that you would save money as a small business owner if this was to pass? Also, yes. All in all, what would I do with this information if I was you? First and foremost, there is probably not a whole lot of action that really any of you guys need to take. I have to be honest with that. The reason I wanted to talk about this is I've seen a lot in the news. I've had a couple of you guys ask about this. So here, this is straight from the headlines. This is what's going on. But if you don't have health insurance or you already plan to have health insurance, this was something that I'd be interested in. Like I said, this is an ongoing thing that I'm going to be tracking, but it's probably not going to change my behavior as of yet. If I don't have it, but I'm looking at possibly getting health insurance in the first quarter, I'm going to hold off because there could be a major change in the landscape in the first quarter. And if there's not, we're probably going to know in the first quarter as well. If you're on the other side of this and you currently have health insurance, right? Whether you have an agreement set up with your employees, whether you have an employer-sponsored plan, you're probably not going to be able to change anything until open enrollment, which doesn't happen for another 12 months. So again, I am not really losing much sleep over it, but looking cautiously optimistic that this could maybe lower my premiums for the first time in a long time. Like I said, as a small business owner, as a shop owner, this is something that I would probably be excited about, that I'd be optimistic about. But there is some people that should be concerned. If you are low income, like we talked about, there is no way, shape, or form that this could be cheaper. I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to affect the lower income people. This is probably still not going to affect your employees, though. This is really, really low income, arguably not working and definitely not working full time. Is this going to affect your customers? Maybe, but I would say it's going to affect people a lot more than outside of their day-to-day budget. When you look at this, the dollars and cents of what people are spending is going up and sometimes is a larger percentage of what they're making. But like I mentioned before, I would foresee people getting rid of their health insurance than actually paying those increased premiums. We all know what happens if you don't have health insurance, you rack up debt, that doesn't look good either. This is why this is one of the hardest problems out there. I don't think that anyone can go out there and say, our government, our health insurance is working very well. I also have not seen a very good alternative. You think socialized healthcare is great? There's good, there's bad. You look around the world, it's working for some people, it's not working for others. Also, same flip side. If you look at socialized healthcare is paid with the taxes. Who is that going to affect more? People that are paying taxes. So there's always a give and a take on it. Yeah. Make your own judgment on this and make your own analysis as well. The world of health insurance is ever changing, but some things remain the same. It seems like every year costs go up and coverages go down. But this bill does shed some hope to self-employed and small business owners, because with the possibility of association plans and HRAs for our employees, could we finally see a year where benefits go up and costs go down? I wouldn't bank on it, but we are closer than we ever have been. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can find the rest of the shows on the new Automotive Repair Podcast Network app or on your favorite podcast listing apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.